This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
No matter how you measure, it's six more weeks of winter weather.
Yikes. As New England is bracing for epic, what they call generational Arctic outbreak, there is that little thing, Punxsutawney Phil, the groundhog, who decided to declare by seeing a shadow that we were going to get six more weeks, as you just heard there, of winter. Brr, I feel sorry for everybody who doesn't live in a warm weather place. I know, because most of my life I haven't. Hey, everybody, it's Kate Delaney. Hope you're having a fabulous week. If you're not and you have the weekend off, woohoo! You have just a couple more days to get through. And you, my friends, will be able to grab the brass ring. You know, it's like that, such that attitude, right? That we're living for the weekend, like this, like the old 70s song said. It is a mindset. Come on. It is a mindset. Although I would really have to brace myself for the weather that my friends in New England are going to, and are getting right now, are going to have to get through this weekend. Life-threatening cold. That's what the Weather Service is calling it. It's already dumped into the Northeast Thursday night, Friday. That's the big extremes. Wind chills, minus 30, minus 45. By Saturday throughout much of New England. That's dangerous stuff. You don't want to really be tooling around, I think, in that kind of weather. I mean, whether you're in the upper Midwest or the Northeast, these are some of the temperatures that, so it's just not there. It's in some of the other spots up north that you'll be getting those kinds of conditions. And then to add insult to injury, the Arctic cold front pushes in, and there's also those snow squalls that rear up. And you know, when you get it, when you're driving, you get in the middle of one of those, you cannot see anything. It is so not worth it. If you want to go to the club and it's past midnight, you might want to think about keeping the party at home. I mean, that's the way to do it, seriously. Because you don't want to, I think it's terrible anyway. When you're dealing with ice, you got to walk through a parking lot, and then you're talking about temperatures where, hey, if you're out an extra 5 minutes, you and some skin's exposed, who knows? You could be talking about frostbite. So better to wait for another day. But if you do live there, especially Interstate 95, right down 95, that whole quarter, that area, high temperatures are predicted to eventually bounce back up. But you're going to get that freezing highs all the way through there for at least a couple of days. And Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas and parts of Mississippi, a lot of people kind of in that band are dealing with the aftermath of the ice and temperatures starting to rise and burning that all off. But it was a tough, icicles. It's a tough couple of days where there was a lot of accidents and, you know, trees falling and also power outages, which is what you have to deal with when you get those ice storms. So look out for everybody that is in the middle of that kind of weather. Speaking of looking up, not out, if you were looking up in Montana, specifically in Billings, Montana, you would have seen this strange balloon with what looked like a satellite right there attached to it. It was a satellite, a Chinese surveillance balloon collecting intelligence over the continental United States. The Pentagon monitoring it, in fact, thinking of shooting it down at one point. It is above commercial air traffic, so it's not a danger in that sense. But Brigadier General Patrick Ryder, a Pentagon spokesperson, told reporters in just this thrown-together kind of news conference where he had addressed what was going on, that they are aware of it, and there's conversation about what to do. At one point, thinking of, do we shoot it down? But once the balloon was detected, because they had to prevent also the collection of sensitive information, because why was the balloon there? And you're talking about nukes in that area. What are the nuclear capabilities? So this has been observed before, but it's been a while, and there have been similar balloons with guidance systems on board that have been detected over, like, Hawaii and Guam, because there's substantial American military assets there. When this was reported, and this is a sparsely populated Montana, right? But it's home to numerous U.S. nuclear missile silos. We got the missile silos there. So what would that balloon be doing there? And, you know, you have Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, who's traveling in the Philippines. But he convened a meeting with senior advisors to assess how to respond. And they did briefly talk about shooting down the balloon. They thought about doing that. In on the discussion was the top brass, of course, General Mark Milley, who's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. But he advised against that, doing that, saying that the falling debris could put people and property at risk if you shot it down because of the path. Even if the path was in a sparsely populated area, there still are people there. And upon further review, that going over the numerous sensitive sites, they say they don't have, it appears it doesn't have the ability to collect information that's over and above the tools at their disposal, China's disposal, like low orbit satellites would. So they're taking steps to prevent Beijing from gathering any kind of intelligence, but they know where the balloon is, where it's passing over, and they're being vigilant about it. But it's interesting they contemplated what to do, and it included F-22s, a pair of F-22 fighters, jets, you know, that were sent to investigate it to be able to coordinate something if they were deciding they were going to have to shoot it down. So it's interesting because initially the balloon was over the Aleutian Islands, rather, in Alaska, then over Canada. And where it was initially launched from, they don't really know. I mean, even in Canada, they were talking about monitoring the potential second incident to make sure the airspace there is secure. And, of course, they've reached out to China, and the Chinese government maintains it is the United States that's taken unwelcome and provocative actions, namely through supplying arms to Taiwan. So the concern is this, why are they doing this? Right? Why is this happening? And you got Austin meeting with counterparts in the Philippines, and they've announced a new agreement where the U.S. forces will receive access to four more additional bases in that area, because now they've expanded the Pentagon's strategic footprint, you have to say that, in an effort to counter China. That's why we're there. And that plan adds to five other bases already used for training, because if you think of the troops, you got to have a place, a secure place to have them and to have them ready to move if they have to move. So this is wild to see this balloon and, you know, again, hovering over sensitive areas. And what's going to happen in the next couple of days will be something to watch. That's for sure. Stay with us.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriend, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
End of the show, a couple of great authors. Kaz Piper joins us from Australia. I'm not even going to try my Australian accent. It's lame. I've been told that all my accents sound the same. Anyway, delightful person who had some really wild experiences with rock and roll music and traveling around and brushes with interesting people in the circles that she was traveling, and then how scary it is to realize what's going on around you, including, you know, drug cartels. You know, you get, you're young and impressionable and you're excited and crazy in love, and the next thing you know, you're getting into the country illegally, and then the story goes from there. I'm not going to give it all up for you. She's written an interesting novel, and she's going to talk about that and talk about some of the brushes with fame that were also pretty interesting. I'm just going to say one of my favorites, The Boss, would be one of them. Plus, Jason Reed, if you haven't heard him, I talked to him about, he's a great sports writer. I talked to him about the rise of black quarterbacks, and that is a big piece of what's happening in the Super Bowl. You've got Pat Mahomes and Jalen Hurts, so there is some history in the making there with those two quarterbacks from the Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. So what's happened in the past, and now fast forward to what's happening now, and some of the quarterbacks that were kind of the woulda, shoulda, couldas, where people missed in the draft, but now that's a far different story, and the history behind all of that. Like I said, he's an incredible sports writer and really a great human being too, by the way. So it's fun to have a chance to talk with him. Now, as we go through kind of odds and ends, I always say there's things that slip off the radar because so much is always happening around us. The beauty of and my pleasure in doing this show and why I love being an American and love having had the ability in my life to live in every single what I call quadrant of the United States, so in the South, the Southeast, North, you know, Midwest, West Coast, East Coast, and really just liking people and the different things that happen in our culture. And it's been interesting because Netflix just celebrated its first streaming show ever. I shouldn't say celebrate, just marked its first streaming show ever. When did that happen? And do you know what the first streaming show was? You think now everybody streams. Everybody has some offerings. It's, you know, Paramount Plus, MGM Plus, NBC, Peacock Network. And this was one of the first shows that and I watched it because so many people told me, hey, I know you're busy, but this is kind of what you do in your downtime here and there, so this is one to watch. And it was adopted from the Brits, and it was House of Cards, which you can still go and watch. And it came out in 2013, which in a way doesn't seem that long ago. It was the breakthrough show for Netflix, because that was that on-demand service that launched. I mean, the whole Netflix thing launched back in the late 90s, right? But House of Cards, that was the big streamer. And now you look at Kevin Spacey and, of course, what's happened. And in 2017, at the height of when that was so popular from starting in 2013, he was fired because of the sexual misconduct allegations. But they still went on. Robin Wright became the female president in 2018, and that was the sixth and final season of it. But it was a political thriller, and it's so brilliant. It was based on a novel, and it was an adaptation of a show that they had on the BBC. And just epic. It's like 13 episodes. And, you know, I wasn't a binger, and I didn't have the time for that, and I was so hooked into it. You know, where traditionally what you had to do, we all know this, even if you're in your 20s, you can relate to this, whether you're older, is that you had only a certain amount of bandwidth when it came to what you were watching. And so you go back and look in ratings histories, ratings were so different than they are now, where you've got programs on the I call them the big three networks, and then now even the cable networks, that they're struggling to find footing because there's so many things you can stream whenever you want to stream them, right? So you can just let a whole season go, and if you are a binger person, you just wait, and then you binge the whole thing. Although, boy, it is so tough on you when you binge. There is a very funny show called Portlandia. And one of the vignettes that they did, it's comedy. And one of the vignettes that they did, they had a couple where they were watching, they were binging something. It was a popular sci-fi series that they hadn't seen. I want to say it was Galactica, but they were binging it and they weren't intending to binge it. Hey, let's watch a couple of these. They sat down and they just showed how they were constantly ordering out for food, and it was like they were bears hibernating, watching this and growing old, watching and binging this show. And I think that's become so much a part of what life is like now, that you have the ability, even if you just are binging it and streaming it and watching it a little at a time, you know, you have the ability to plug into it and just watch it as you go along. So anyway, not to go even deeper into the rabbit hole, but that was the first big one. It was House of Cards. And that was what people obviously liked and gave it the big boost that it got on Netflix and led to them even producing so many other things as a result of that. All right, it is Super Bowl 57, so just a quick hit on that for odds and ends. Rihanna is the headliner, the halftime show. She's a 9-time Grammy Award winner. Guarantee, if you've flipped on any kind of music at any point, whether it's, you know, the what I call the old way to do that, listening to stations as you're driving around. My favorite way, by the way, because the great lover of radio of all sorts, not just talk, the radio that I choose, the medium that I love. But you probably have heard some of her songs, incredibly successful at what she does. But the pressure on the halftime show, because talking about eyeballs on you, when you have more than 100 million people, it's huge to be the person who's the headliner to get chosen for that. So now here we're down to the nitty-gritty. We have basically a little over a week, and you know, she is it. She, whatever the offering is, we'll get to see what Rihanna comes up with. And I can only imagine what it's going to be, because these are such big, big, big shows. So I think it's going to be, huge. There were these t-shirts that were out in advance of the Super Bowl halftime show. And it said on the t-shirt, Rihanna concert interrupted by a football game. Weird, but whatever. So just kind of as a funny little nod to the role that she's playing there. I think she's going to have an excellent halftime show. Every year it seems to me there is always some twist, something, some ooh or ah moment, and that's what she needs. You know, it's not just you're going on and she knows that because she's a performer. You're not just going on and belting out a tune. Not like if you went back in the history of the Super Bowl and saw what some of the headline shows are. They just have something phenomenal, that some kind of what I call Easter egg that has to be in the midst of it. Whatever that's going to be, I don't know, because they always keep that as a guarded secret, but it'll be sure to be guaranteed something very, very, very big. I can only imagine. All right, so many people, you know, this is the three dreaded letter time, the IRS, when you're filing taxes, and people that are getting money back. The best way to do it, I was just having this conversation with somebody, is do it direct deposit, right? If your refund is whatever, the average refund, $3,200, and even if it's a little bit smaller, whatever it is, and you get a refund, ditch the whole check thing. Forget that. And go on and make sure you get it through direct deposit. A lot safer, too. Hang with us.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA News Update. A majority of U.S. adults support banning the sale of all tobacco products, as according to the new study by the CDC, which polled more than 6,000 Americans in 2021. Nearly two-thirds of those surveyed said they support ending menthol cigarette sales. Cigarette smoking remains the leading cause of preventable disease, disability, and death in the U.S. It's estimated that more than 30 million Americans currently smoke. A number of major upcoming films are going to see their trailers air during the Super Bowl. Marvel Studios' Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and The Marvels are all expected to have trailers air during the game. Disney will also air spots for The Little Mermaid, Elemental, and Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Meanwhile, Warner Brothers is expected to show an ad for DC's The Flash, while Universal will debut its trailer for Fast X, also known as Fast and the Furious 10. I'm Blue Flores, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Australia here in America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, for a conversation with Kez Piper, who's in our virtual green room. This book will blow you away because it's one drama after another. It takes you back in time. It takes you back to an era that people are talking about a lot now, things that they don't remember, or younger people who want to know more about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So the name of the book is called Those Little White Lines. Kez, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Very privileged.
So this book, how did it come about? What made you decide you were going to write a novel?
Well, it was basically friends and family that used to say, my God, Kez, you know, you need to write a book, you need to write a novel and get it out there. The story is amazing. And they were all familiar with the whole process of the story. So, yeah, that gave me a little bit of inspiration. But it was a lot of closure as well for me.
So Bridget, your main character, is just a gorgeous Australian blonde. And she meets up with a guy named Jose. And then what happens from there? We're not going to tell everybody everything, but the adventures are definitely deep. Tell us a little bit about that story.
Okay. Well, Jose, he was a member of a famous rock band that was touring Australia at the time. And I was at a nightclub at this particular time, and he approached me and my girlfriend and decided he wanted to sit down and buy us drinks. And anyhow, I noticed that he was an American. And I said, oh, yeah, so whereabouts are you from? He said, California. I went, oh, that's good. And I said, so what are you doing here? And he said, well, we're here on tour. And I said, oh, yeah, who are you touring with? And he told me, the Hypnotics. And I went, oh, my God. Donna and I, my girlfriend at the time, was with me. We just wanted to go to the concert, but there was no tickets left, so we couldn't go. And he said, well, would you like to come? And I said, well, yeah, absolutely. So hence that was the meeting with Jose. And then went to the concert, and that was epic. And he did address me at the concert, which was really nice. Had the spotlight there, and it was like a little bit surreal and a bit nerve-wracking. And then he decides to, we spend a fair bit of time in Sydney. Then we took a train up to Brisbane, but they wanted to do the train because they wanted to see a lot of the outback of Australia, the kangaroos, the koala bears, and, you know, the emus and all that. But, yeah, so we end up in Brisbane. They did a tour, a concert there, and then we flew back and spent some time together, and then he decided that he wanted to take me to California, and hence I had trouble getting a visa at the time. So, yeah, he came up with another plan. So the plan was within those little white lines, and that's how the story starts.
Wow. So anything that he could do to get you to America, basically, and we'll let people hear the rest of that story. Was it fine? Was it, I guess not fine, but was it really fun? It's more than fine. Was it fun to tell the story?
Yes, it was at the time. It's even better now that it's all, you know, it's like been 36 years ago now. So I've sort of had my closure and, look, it was the most amazing time. I was in awe. I really didn't think of where I was heading at the time with him and where it was going until that time when we met in I had to change my ticket to Vancouver. And I remember him waking me up early in the morning and saying, Kaz, we've got to go. And it's like, well, where are we going? He said, we've got to go and catch this plane. So he had a plane lined up. That we drove out, I think it was 40 minutes from Vancouver, and in a grassy paddock, and we were waiting for this plane. It was like, and then I had second thoughts thinking, oh my God, what am I doing? What is going on? And then suddenly I was in Seattle.
In Seattle, and then the adventure.
Lines, I tell you what, do a bit of damage to your brain. Fizzle out your brain.
Oh, yeah, the adventure takes off, and you talk about that, and again, the book is aptly named, Those Little White Lines. What was it?
Actually quite big.
Yeah, quite big. It makes me think of Miami Vice and everything that was happening in the 80s. What was it like to live through all that? I mean, these adventures.
It was, what could you say? It was exciting, but then it was also very, what could I say? It was just so surreal. It was like the people that I had met on tour when we went on tour, and just being there, it was just so epic. I don't know what words to describe that, but it was a very, very beautiful time for me, as well as a not so beautiful time for me, but
it was the yin and yang, and that's what your book is like. You talk about that. I mean, listen, your sister was in a band. You like music. I mean, an easy thing to kind of get reeled into, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We loved our bands. We used to go and see the bands that would play just about every night of the week. We had parents that would, you know, were quite accommodating in that way. And we also had a lot of international bands that would come to Sydney, and we would take the train up there and, you know, see them, and then they'd come down to the Gong. And so, yeah, it was all very my younger brother plays guitar as well and writes songs, and his story is interesting too, but that's in the next book if it ever gets there.
That's a tease for the upcoming book. So what do you hope people take away from reading Those Little White Lines, which you can get on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold?
Yeah. Just just be aware of the situations that you are in, or if something seems too good to be true, it usually is. And just take care. And also make sure that you tell your friend or your family where you're actually going if you are on an adventure, like I was with my little white lions. So, yeah, it's just be careful, I would say.
Yeah, your family was close. Were they worried about you, do you think?
Yeah, well, very much so, especially my father. He was, you know, I would call them. I did call them from Canada and say, because they thought I was going to Los Angeles, and, yeah, and they was like, if anything happens to you, you tell me, I'll come over and, you know, I'll fix that guy up for you and all that. But when I end up, I end up telling them about 6 months into the, into living in Los Angeles, and they weren't really happy, and they were a bit disappointed that I didn't tell them actually where I was going. No one really knew where I was. They thought I was in America, which I was in America, but they didn't know the mechanics behind it all. So, yeah, but they were fine with it at the end of the day. I got home safe, and the experience was just wild. So just be careful, guys, out there. As I said, if anything's too good to be true, it usually is.
Oh, boy, and that is a good warning. I'd be remiss not to ask you this. I talk about brushes with fame, as I've had a few of my own, and so have many people listening to this show. I mean, it's something that happens depending on what you do for a living or where you are, and you were, again, involved in the music industry, essentially, because of being around rock and roll and all of that. Who was the most interesting person you met? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do, actually. And at the time he was traveling, he was doing a tour in Australia as well. And that was the boss, Bruce Springsteen. He actually, when I was introduced to him by Jose, he went to shake my hand and he kissed it. And then I thought, oh, my God, there's no way I'm going to wash this hand ever. And, of course, Jose wasn't appreciative of it. So he sort of just introduced me and then sort of, come on, let's go. But he was there at the concert and he was touring next after, you know, the Hypnotics were going back to the States. So, and, you know, Tom Petty, I had the pleasure of meeting him. Joe Walsh from the Eagles, they're people that I can actually mention because they're not in the book.
No.
I've had to, you know, as the old saying goes, what happens on the road stays on the road.
Right.
And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So I did spend a lot of time in Vegas as well because Jose was a big gambler. He used to play the blackjack. And so we used to visit Vegas just about every weekend, every second weekend. And, yeah, so hey, it was a very interesting time.
No kidding. Well, I love that. I love those brushes with fame. And like you said, you can't tell those secrets, and you didn't. You protect the innocent or the guilty because you definitely didn't name names. So those little white lines, Kez Piper, thanks a lot. Pick up the book. You'll love it. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And if you guys out there could go to www.kazpiper.com, it is on audio, and also my Facebook and Instagram. Much appreciated, Kate. You take care and hope to talk to you soon.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original Pure Pau D'Arco and drink Super Tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Jason Reed, his book is incredible, Rising Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. I'm a big fan of his. When I started my career just outside of L.A., I read his stuff on the Dodgers at the Los Angeles Times, and then when he was with the Washington Post, he covered the then Redskins, which are now the Commanders, and you can catch his stuff on ESPN Now. He's the senior NFL writer and Scape, and of course he's been with ESPN, and you see him all over the place, and this book is really incredible. I read it from cover to cover. I learned some things I didn't know, and you're going to learn some amazing things too. So Jason, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You know, Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes, Dak Prescott, there's a slew of quarterbacks. I'm from Philly, so I can't help it. I'm high on Jalen Hurts. I mean, I know it's really at the beginning of his career, so to speak, with the pros, but we saw what he did in college. It's a different story with the black quarterbacks now. Do you think they're getting, the black quarterbacks are getting the recognition they deserve?
Yeah, you know, I like to tell people now that there has never been a better time to be a black man who plays quarterback or aspires to play quarterback in the NFL. These guys are beloved by fans. They have the biggest contracts. Their platforms are enormous because of their success. And, you know, this has really been a journey more than 100 years in the making, because black quarterbacks or black men who aspire to play quarterback in professional sports, most successful league and professional sports, you know, most powerful league, were largely prohibited from doing it for most of the league's history. It really is a recent development. And by recent, I mean the mid to late 80s was when we really start to see black quarterbacks becoming okay, a part of the game, not considered an oddity or an outlier, that they really were, okay, people who were in the fabric of the NFL. So, yeah, a lot has changed, and we're at a point right now where, you know, in another 5 to 10 years, it would not be shocking if you saw as many as 12 to 16 superstar black quarterbacks. And by that, I mean, when you look at the college game now, you look at the traditional college powers, the Alabamas, the Ohio States, the USCs, all led by star black quarterbacks. You know, I'm a sports writer, and when I started my career, I was covering high school recruiting, and you would go to these elite high school recruiting camps for the quarterbacks, and you'd never see black faces. Now, there are superstar 4- and 5-star recruits who are black quarterbacks all over the place. So we are in the era of the black quarterback now, and the pipeline from youth football to high school football to college football, it's just going to continue to flow to the NFL. And, you know, it really is something that when you talk about the evolution of the country, you know, in terms of many issues, you can see it in the NFL with the rise of the black quarterback.
And this is an obvious question, but why did it take so long for black quarterbacks to be accepted?
You know, I've talked so much about this in my discussions about the book, and I try not to oversimplify it, but it really just comes down to racism. I mean, black men in the NFL, not just in the NFL, I mean in America, were not considered to be smart enough, leaders, people who could inspire others. And by others, I mean other, you know, white people. So, you know, if you look at that, if that's the way black men were looked at in society, clearly sports are just a, you know, microcosm of society. So that's the way they were going to be looked at in the NFL. And for decades, black players were not allowed to play the so-called thinking man's positions, center on the offensive line, because the center has to make line adjustments, middle linebacker on the defense, middle linebacker is a quarterback of the defense, or safety. The safety is the quarterback of the secondary. So if black players were not allowed to play those positions, clearly they wouldn't be allowed to play the ultimate thinking man's position, which is quarterback. So, you know, it really wasn't until these owners started to see that, okay, well, the game has gotten so big now that quarterback is truly the most important position. You can't overlook anyone at that position if you want to try to win. And it was really a matter of self-preservation for general managers and coaches, because once the game exploded, and you know, when we get, you know, people forget that Major League Baseball really dwarfed the NFL for much of the previous century. But once you start getting into the 80s and the Super Bowl became this thing that occupied like all of America and the pageantry around it and the spectacle around it and these teams like, you know, the Bears and the 49ers and the Giants. Like once the NFL going into the 80s really started to overtake Major League Baseball and the money got so big, these general managers and owners could not afford to just say, well, we're not going to take this quarterback because he's black. Because if you pass over somebody who can help you win and you lose your job, you're going to be like, I wish we'd have looked at that guy. So that's really the change that occurred.
Yeah. We're speaking with Jason Reed, and the book is Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. I think that is such a big part of the title of this book. If you would, because we want people to go and get it, let's whet their appetite a little bit. Tell us a couple stories in the book.
You know, well, one story, a great one, is about Warren Moon, the only black quarterback enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, I suspect that's going to change in the years to come, but right now he's the only one in the Hall of Fame. And you know, Warren Moon, he wasn't drafted into the NFL when he came out of, and it's so crazy when you think about it now. He was the what is now the Pacific 12 Conference. Back then it was called the Pac-8 Conference. He was the Pac-8 Conference co-player of the year, and he helped Washington win the Rose Bowl, the University of Washington, and he doesn't get drafted. I mean, that would never happen out of a major conference today, but he has to go to Canada, continue his career, goes to Canada, lights it up, wins championships, sets records passing. The then Houston Oilers, win a bidding war to get Warren to come down from Canada. And after, you know, a transition period, he had a rough, first year, you know, in making that transition. But after that transition, he lights it up. He becomes a perennial Pro Bowler. He sets, you know, records. He gets into the Hall of Fame. And it's just so interesting how history might have been different, because the Dallas Cowboys, the lead scout of the Dallas Cowboys in their draft meeting, that 1978 draft, said, hey, you know, this guy is a guy we should draft. But black men were not being drafted to play quarterback in the NFL in the late 60s and even to the late 70s. So, or at least not in, you know, in high numbers in the late 70s. And Warren Moon got passed over. How might history have been different if Warren Moon had gone to Dallas and was the quarterback after Roger Staubach instead of Danny White? I mean, you know, Dallas fans may want to think about that. Another story I would say, you know, contemporary one, Patrick Mahomes, just the clout he wields and how he uses his power to push the NFL to do things that he thinks it needs to do in terms of social justice issues. And, you know, he's very big in voting rights. And, you know, I was thinking about the fact that, you know, so many quarterbacks, he stands on the shoulders of so many quarterbacks before him who did not have the power to affect change. And the fact that he does, and the fact that he uses that power without, you know, concern about what it might do to his brand and people who might get upset about it, it says a lot about the rise of the black quarterback.
Yeah. And now finally moving from quarterback to, we see what's happening in the NFL, coaches, underrepresentation, obviously, same thing in the GM ranks and front office ranks, and we see the Brian Flores lawsuit. What do you think it will take for that to change?
Well, you know, I think people are just going to have to keep pushing. People internally in the NFL who believe that diversity and inclusion are good things from a business standpoint, those people have to keep pushing. Civil rights advocates externally, they have to keep pushing. Because, you know, clearly the hiring front is the next big front. It used to be that the biggest frontier in the NFL for black men was quarterback, getting to play the quarterback position. Now the frontier that has to be conquered and tamed, so to speak, is hiring at the executive level, in football operations and business operations, and on-field hiring with coaching in terms of head coaches. So I think that, you know, what we need to see is what we're seeing right now, but just in an ongoing basis, people continuing to push because this is the right thing to do.
Yeah. For you, last question, what was it like writing this book? Because I've said I'm a big fan. I've followed your career. You get sports. You've covered it for sports for a long time. I can imagine 70, 75 interviews, lots of conversations. So it might have been quite an undertaking. Was it fun?
It was funny. You know, it's so funny you mentioned the number. It was over 70 interviews, and it was done over about an 18-month period, researching, reporting, you know, writing. I've been a sports writer my whole career, you know, a beat writer and a columnist, and I always wanted to write a book, but from a timing standpoint, you know, then life gets in the way. You know, you get married, you have kids, and a lot of things. But bottom line was, this is a book I had a lot of passion about. I was given time to write it, to report it, and to write it in a way that I felt would do the subject matter justice. And I'm very proud of it. And I hope people will come to the book with an open mind and leave with maybe a new perspective on something that they thought they knew everything that there was to know about it.
Well said. Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. Jason Reed, it's a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.